This is 89.9 WWNO. It's carnival time in the Crescent City. Mardi Gras throws and what to do with it all. We've got answers. A look at Mardi Gras past and a heads up on the meeting of the courts of Rex and Comus. It's the greatest free show on earth, a party like no other. Come along for the ride as we go inside the arts. I'm your host, Diane Mack. Yes, Mardi Gras 2018 is finally here. Carnival in the city's tricentennial year, a time when just about anything goes. You can let your hair down and be who or whatever you please. The season got off on a humorous note with a dig from our neighbors to the east. Alabama made news with billboards touting Mobile as the home of America's original Mardi Gras celebration. The billboards near New Orleans and in South Mississippi tell motorists how close they are to America's original Mardi Gras. Mayor Mitch Landrieu responded saying, "That was then, and this is now." Let the good times roll. Laissez les bon temps rouler. Maybe you got up early and caught a Zulu coconut or greeted King Rex along the St. Charles route. Right about now, the crew of trucks are making their way on the uptown route, and you are probably shouting,
"Hey now, mister, throw me something, mister. You got what I need. If I take off my bra, hand it to you right now, would you throw me some of your Mardi Gras beads? Hey now, mister, I know your sister from down at the bar. She said if I moon, you would throw me the blues. Hurry, hurry, got to catch my streetcar. I'm walking down St. Charles Avenue, mask covering my face. In places I ain't never, but a Mardi Gras is not a disgrace. Hey now, mister, throw me something, mister. What do I have to give up? I got to wiggle when I walk into a second line strut just to get a Zulu coconut. I'm walking down St. Charles Avenue, mask covering my face. I got all kinds of feathers in places I ain't never, but a Mardi Gras is not a disgrace. Hey now, mister, throw me something, mister. You know we gon' make a scene. Tomorrow I'll be quiet, but tonight I'm gonna riot for the yellow and the purple. New Orleans, you know I got just what it take. I was raised on the venom of a rattlesnake when they baptized me in the Pontchartrain Lake. Hey now, mister, throw me something, mister. You got what I need. If I take off my bra, hand it to you right now, would you throw me some of your Mardi Gras beads?
Something. Oh, man.
That little ditty was written and performed by my younger sister, jazz vocalist Sybil Gage. New Orleans crews throw thousands of pounds of beads every year during Mardi Gras parades, but what happens after the carnival revelry? The beads aren't recyclable. They can be reused by artists or repackaged and resold through organizations like ARC of Greater New Orleans. This year, ARC joined forces with Young Leadership Council, running a bead collection program on the parade route after parades for the crews of Ferret and Toth. WWNO's Jessica Rosegard spoke with Stephen Saar from ARC of Greater New Orleans and Hannah Kincannon of the Young Leadership Council about the program.
This is a new joint recycling initiative between YLC Recycles and ARC of Greater New Orleans, as well as the crew of Ferret, the crew of Toth, Republic Services, and the Department of Sanitation. So, Hannah, tell me how this partnership came together.
Well, since 2013, YLC Recycles has partnered with local events and festivals on ways to become greener and more sustainable. Of course, the Mardi Gras Recycling Initiative is an extension of that, and ARC of Greater New Orleans is our most logical partner on that.
Yeah, and what about the crews?
This year is our pilot year. We deliberately chose 2 days to gauge feasibility for future expansion. We wanted to do the first Saturday, second Sunday. We wanted to focus on day parades. So we brought this to the crews of Ferret and Toth, and they were both really happy to support us and to partner with us on it and, you know, try to become greener crews as well.
And probably what's important to point out, Hannah, is that we chose Ferret and Toth because they're the third parade on each of those days. And okay. So it allows us to pass out the recycling bags early in the day and then at the end of those parades to come back and pick them up.
And ARC has done some of this in the past, right? Collecting beads at the end of parades?
So we've been collecting beads since the 70s. A few years ago, we started following, for a short part of the parade route, the crew of Ferret. Mm-hmm. Again, because it was a daytime parade, easy access. At that point in the year, we were running low on beads anyway. Mm-hmm. And so it allowed us to kind of sort and package some more beads and sell them before Mardi Gras.
Tell me a bit more about your recycling program at ARC. And how will this partnership enhance or improve the program that you've already been running?
What we do is we turn beads into jobs. So through bead recycling, repackaging, and reselling, we fund jobs for people with intellectual disabilities who are not able to find jobs in the community. So we find ways to create jobs for them, meaningful jobs. So Mardi Gras bead recycling is one of them. That interest in our activity has really grown over the last 2 or 3 years. I think there's a growing consciousness in New Orleans about trying to be greener. Mm-hmm. So last year, we sold 250,000 pounds of Mardi Gras beads back to the public. And through that, we funded 85 wage-earning jobs mm-hmm. for folks with disabilities. This initiative, we believe, will allow us to collect even more beads. And up until now, we've sold every bead we've been able to collect and sort. We always run out. So the more beads we collect, the more beads we can sort, I believe the more beads we'll be able to sell.
Reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Correct.
And you've also expanded your operation this year with a new store. So what do you offer at the new store?
So our main location is at 925 LaBar, which is right off LaBar and Causeway in Metairie. And the back part of the building has been a warehouse where we simply put the beads once they're sorted. The public would come in and sort of find a door in the building and get the beads they wanted. The retail store we opened up almost a month ago, mm-hmm. and it was meant to sort of make buying the beads a whole lot easier. So they're now established hours, 9 to 4 Monday through Friday, 9 to 1 on Saturday. You know you can come in. You know where the door is. You walk in. And there are beads sorted by category, so 33-inch, 48-inch, really, really long ones, the chunky ones, the pearls. There are also specialty beads. We've collected through the years all sorts of tiaras and tutus and Mardi Gras costumes and plush throws. Anything Mardi Gras you could probably find in the bead store, in the retail store.
Hannah, there's this partnership, too, between Republic Services, which is the recycling company, and the New Orleans Department of Sanitation. We know that past Mardi Gras success has been judged by the amount of trash that's collected. How are you working with them to facilitate this pickup?
The City of New Orleans Department of Sanitation has been really supportive. They're very excited about this initiative, and we really hope that this year is going to start a new trend instead of measuring success by, you know, tons of waste picked up. We're going to really celebrate how much refuse we're able to divert from the landfills this mm-hmm. year, and we're going to see that number grow and grow.
I understand this is a pilot program. Do you hope to expand it in the future?
Absolutely. The hope is to expand next year. This year, the pilot is designed to gauge feasibility, to collect data so that we can expand it and improve it for future years.
And part of our pilot partners, the City Department of Sanitation and the Mayor's Office of Resilience and Sustainability, they're very interested in sort of getting the metrics when we're done and trying to analyze, because the hope is that the public, the city, will take more and more of a role, particularly the recycling part, as time moves forward. So we're kind of the laboratory to see what works, what doesn't work, and to improve going forward, hoping this becomes a citywide project.
Hannah Kincannon from the Young Leadership Council and Dr. Stephen Sauer from ARC of Greater New Orleans, thank you both for joining me.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Think you've seen it all during Mardi Gras? You should see how it looked back in the day. The New Orleans Museum of Art has an exhibit called Bringing Fantasy to Carnival. It highlights the turn-of-the-century work of Swedish artist Bror Anders Wikström. For the crews of Proteus and Rex, WWNO's Eileen Fleming dropped by for a tour.
We're up here on the second floor in a little room tucked off the Great Hall, and it's a special exhibit that involves Carnival, and I'm with...
Mel Buchanan. I'm the curator of decorative arts here at the New Orleans Museum of Art.
Bringing Fantasy to Carnival. So tell me about these pieces.
Well, this is an exhibition dedicated to a New Orleans artist who was prolific at the turn of the century. This exhibition looks at Wikström's designs for Carnival. The crews of Proteus and Rex had him as their lead designer, doing floats and costumes. So it's looking at that part of this artist's prolific career.
He was like the Kern of his day?
He was the Kern of his day, but he was also doing portraits and landscape paintings and actually a piece of furniture. But ultimately, he became a New Orleanian. He was here in New Orleans from 1880 until he passed away in 1909. Who's heard of Wikström unless you're a diehard New Orleans Mardi Gras fan? But when this museum was founded, Wikström was very important to the arts community here in New Orleans. Wikström was one of the founders of the New Orleans Artists Associations, artists that would get together every year and have exhibitions, but they didn't have a place. So that was one of the sparks that motivated Isaac Delgado to put together a museum for the city of New Orleans so that we would have a place for exhibitions like this.
Well, he's really critical to the whole museum itself.
I think that's very, he was one of many people, but he was a very important organizer. He had kind of an atelier in the French Quarter. He brought people together and was a great organizer. And when this building was being built, so 1909, construction is happening, we opened in 1910, Wikström passed away in 1909. And so that was tied into maybe how his name ended up on the building. Because if you visit NoMA and you look carefully around the architecture on the exterior of the original building, you'll see names of great artists. You'll see West, Audubon, Copley, Stewart for Gilbert Stewart. But then mixed in, you're going to see Clegg for the New Orleans artist, Richard Clegg. And you'll see Wikström. If you go over by the museum shop and look up, you'll see the name Wikström. So he was very important at the founding of this museum. But really the part of his career that became fascinating to me for this exhibition was his work for Mardi Gras. And if you're going to do any research on Mardi Gras and drawings in this city, you have many resources. One of them is Tulane's phenomenal Louisiana research collection that has a carnival collection. So many of the drawings in this exhibition were from our partners at Tulane that lent these wonderful works here to be framed and put on the wall. We also worked with Henri Schindler, a great historian of Mardi Gras, borrowed things from his private collection, and Dr. Hales, who many of us know is a beloved pediatrician, but is the historian for Rex, and was Rex, King of Carnival last year. He connected us to the collection that they have there at the Den of Rex, and we borrowed some things.
So let's take a look. These colors are amazing.
So Wikström was so prolific, he was designing parades for 25 years. So if any of us who've seen a parade know that each one has 20 or more floats, plus costumes. So there were a lot of this material was saved. There was a lot out here to choose for this exhibition. So to help narrow it down, I just started playing a game. I was trying to see when I could find, say, a float design that also had its costume designs, and we might be able to see that same float in a photograph to see how then this two-dimensional artwork was translated into the three-dimension to see, you know, how it was actually experienced by the public. So there's a collection of these wonderful vintage views showing these fantastical floats going down Canal Street. One that we're standing in front of looking right now is one of the first night, is the first nighttime view of a Mardi Gras parade. We see the crew of Proteus with this float that has a towering devil figure over a basket. And the basket, the rim of the basket has playing cards, and spilling out of this basket are all manner of sin. You see women drinking and playing cards and gambling. So we see that in the nighttime view with the strings of lights above it and all of the crowd cheering and the flambeau are there. But then beside that, you see Wickstrom's design drawing, where you can see it carefully delineated with the measurements. You know that this float was exactly 18 feet tall. You can see a plan view. You know that it was float number 11 in the 1898 Proteus Parade. And then you can also see two of the costumes. We didn't have room for everything, but two of the costumes called out. And you see these wonderful characters wearing sort of, I guess, a Renaissance court-style imaginary dress, raising up champagne glasses to toast Mardi Gras.
They're so intricate.
I love getting in close. For me, there are two ways to look at it. You can look at how these were used as maybe the construction drawing. The measurements are there, the exact numbers, but there's also a little bit of fantasy. He was certainly having fun with these, with a little artistic flourish. There's little dips of metallic. They're beautiful artworks.
And what about these over here? These are striking.
Yes. One of the highlights of this exhibition is having an entire parade's worth of floats. That's 20. And these are large-scale drawings, and by the time you frame them, they have a great presence. But we hung three deep, that means stacked three high. We have on one wall having the entire 1904 Proteus Parade. It was called the Alphabet, and each of the parade floats is a letter of the alphabet.
Do you know what they were made of?
Paper mache is what I think the basis. So there's carving in wood, but you know, like today, they were stripped away and rebuilt each year. So you know, it was essentially a temporary type of art, paper mache.
Curator of this exhibit, Mel Buchanan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eileen.
Bringing Fantasy to Carnival is now on display at NOMA and will run until April 29th. The marathon party shifts to the French Quarter for evening revelry. Maybe you'll be in that crowd on Bourbon Street. Or maybe you have a coveted ticket to the Rex Ball and the meeting of the courts of Rex and Comus. The event will also be broadcast live tonight on WYES-TV, hosted by Peggy Scott Laborde, with commentary by Errol Laborde and last year's King of Carnival and Rex historian Dr. Stephen Hales. Peggy Scott Laborde is here. Happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras.
It's going to be a long day for you. How are you pacing yourself?
Very, very carefully. But we're very excited about tonight.
You have been documenting Mardi Gras culture in New Orleans for many years. What will viewers experience tonight?
Well, they will see a lot of pageantry, these magnificent gowns for royalty with organizations such as Rex and, of course, Mr. Crew of Comus have always been lovely. But it just seems like these days they're even fancier. And we do talk about that. Suzanne St. Paul is a wonderful dress designer, dress maker, and she is among the more prominent. And when you see the detail, which we'll be showing you, of the beadwork, you know, that's locally done. A lot of young ladies, you know, have been Debs this season. And of course, tonight you'll see the court with their maids with their beautiful gowns. So the Mardi Gras economy is extremely important.
How long has this taken place?
The meeting of the courts of Rex and Comus since 1882. Of course, Comus started in the late 1850s and Rex in 1872. What's exciting about our program is we show you the entire Rex Ball. Jimmy Moriarty is our executive producer and Barbara Sillery is our coordinating producer, and we have quite the crew. We actually have two mobile units, one at the Sheraton tonight and one at the Marriott across the street, and the whole crossing, you know, the Rex crossing on the red carpet of the courts of Rex going over to pay homage to Comus because he's the older god, if you will. He's the one that's been around longer, in New Orleans at least. And all that pageantry is just wonderful.
What will we learn about this year's King and Queen of Carnival?
Mr. Lines Robinson Sloss, Poco is his nickname, is very, very active in the community. He's been involved with the Pro Bono Publico Foundation, which is an organization that Rex puts together that raises a lot of money for charter schools. He also is a pilot. His day job is the head of the IT company Bellwether Technology. And then Sarah Jane Holbrook Freeman's family has been long involved with Carnival, and so she has great-grandfather, grandfather, you know, aunts who have been on the Rex Court and been Rex Monarchs as well. And she's a very pretty young lady. She is very interested in public relations and the media. She's a junior at the University of Virginia.
Now, this is the city's tricentennial year. How will you look back on Carnival's past?
One of our producers, Terry Landry, always looks at Carnival 50 and 100 years ago. So that's extremely exciting. We love to do that. And we have little Carnival vignettes. We love to do the history. And these are standalone features, you know, video vignettes with great rare footage of Carnival and great photos. We put those together every few years and form our own one-hour compilation.
Now, in tonight's segment, will you be speaking with Carnival royalty?
We will. As it turns out, last year's king will be sitting right next to me for a while. Because, as you mentioned, that's Dr. Stephen Hales. We'll talk with the parents of the queen and ask them how they told their daughter this amazing news. I also have a pre-taped interview with the Queen of Comus. So, yeah, you'll get to visit. And we also have an interview with Miss Delia Hardy. She was the queen 50 years ago. So some of her memories are quite delightful, learning about the sceptering, and we talk about the pomp and circumstance.
And who are the King and Queen of Comus this year?
Well, you know, Comus, we can't tell. We can't say who he is because he is always anonymous. But the Queen of Comus, I'm trying to think about that. I think I may have to let that be a surprise because they like to keep those things a real big surprise. So if you don't mind, I'll let you find out tonight.
Will this royal celebration have a fairy tale ending?
Well, we certainly hope that it will. Once that curtain is closed on the Comus Ball, that's it. And then we look ahead to next year.
So, Peggy, when will this be broadcast?
Tonight on WYS. We stream, too. WYS.org as well on our YouTube channel. 7:30 p.m. The first half hour is sort of what we call the pre-ball show. It's a lot of show and tell. And then right at 8 o'clock, the ball begins.
WYES TV host, Peggy Scott Laborde. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Always a pleasure, Diane. Thank you very much.
It's incredible when you think of all we managed to do on a Mardi Gras day. Enjoy the party, and we hope to see y'all next year when we do it all again. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.